Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the event center at Horseshoe, and we are heading to the gate in the Grade 1 Beholder Mile. And let's set this up for you, just, you know, more for entertainment purposes, of course. I suppose that with a fairly heavy favorite in Fun to Dream for Baffert, the nice Arrogate filly, she's 4-5. There might be some openings, and that could include Pauline's Pearl, obviously, the Steve Asmussen Stone Street product, the wonderful Tappet daughter out of Hot Dixie Check, the ultimate Stone Street, one of Stone Street's really nice race fillies and brood mares. We talked about several of these others recently. How about that Kirstenbach for John Sadler? Big price at 38-1 from the rail. And Midnight Memories, one of Baffert's other two in here, 11-1. Ganadora, the third Baffert, is a big price for Bayoma, for Mrs. Chu, 34-1. Desert Dawn, the Phil D'Amato with Umberto Rispoli, the Cupid daughter, she's 9-1. Amore, Brad Cox, with Flavian Pratt, Uncle Mo, she's 7-1. And Awake at Midnight, Redham, Gutierrez, Doug O'Neill, 26-1. There's your field of eight in the Grade 1 Beholder Mile. Any options, Rich?
I really like the four horse, Midnight Memories. This is the other Baffert. The Baffert horse whose favorite is the number eight, Fun to Dream, who is 4-5. But Midnight Memories, two races ago, Brian, won the Grade 2 Zenyatta at Santa Anita, and was not quick enough in the La Brea Grade 1, so I really like her going two turns.
She's got a license as much as the favorite. I don't like the favorite, but I don't bet Baffert either. I looked at Brad Cox's horse. Anything he sent out west, they haven't really run that well, and this horse has raced in Lasix the last two times. I don't really like that. I think if Steve's horse ready, he can give them all they want, and that Johnny Velasquez took the mount, so if I had to play the race, I'd likely bet on Steve Asmussen's horse, the two horse.
Yeah, because that was a question I would have. Probably the Asmussen horse and the Cox horse probably flew out on the same Tex Sutton plane, so here they are in the Graded Stakes race.
Best race possible.
Yep.
Fairgrounds also, we should note, their nightcap moving into the gate, and in here you got a 4-5 favorite as well. Steve Asmussen for Lee Levinson and Winchell. City of Light, that's 4-5 blue light. Let's see if he's special, for those of you old enough to know what a blue light special is.
If you really wanted a stab here, the Doug O'Neill horse isn't that bad a horse.
No, not at all. Not at all.
He in the Midnight Memories race, he was 3.5 in Midnight, you know. He's not the worst 25-1 shot.
Getting set here for here we go.
At Midnight bounces out quickly. Ganadora with that sprint speed up to take the lead. And Fun to Dream is well placed in the early going. A close-up third into the first turn. So it's Ganadora in front. Now taking second is Fun to Dream, and down at the rail, Midnight Memories comes away in third. Amore is fourth, Awake at Midnight now fifth. Pauline's Pearl right next to her. Desert Dawn three wide, six lengths off the lead, and Kirsten Bosch is at the back of the field. It's Ganadora to the backstretch, leading the way. Has it by three quarters of a length to Fun to Dream in second. They're followed by Amore in the clear, Green Cap third. Awake at Midnight is eager between horses, but currently in traffic. Midnight Memories is down at the rail. Pauline's Pearl racing on the inside of Desert Dawn. Only four lengths covers that entire group, and Kirsten Bosch at the back. Fun to Dream alongside Ganadora into the far turn. Just under a length back is Amore in third. Then Awake at Midnight taking fourth. Desert Dawn on the outside fifth, just three off the lead as Fun to Dream has taken the lead midway on the far turn. And it's Fun to Dream in front coming to the quarter pole. Amore a length back second. On the far outside, Desert Dawn is in third. Pauline's Pearl still six lengths off the lead, top of the stretch, and Fun to Dream in front has a two-length cushion on Amore in second, who's trying her best to close the gap. They're inside the final eighth of a mile. Fun to Dream, Amore within a half length. Amore is trying to get to Fun to Dream. Fun to Dream digging in. Amore surging. These two come to the wire together. Amore got up in the last jump to beat Fun to Dream. Midnight Memories was next, followed by Desert Dawn. And on the outside, up for fifth, was Kirsten Bosch in the Beholder Mile.
There you go. Last second lunge, and Brad Cox, what a clever ship to get Amore out to California and grade one for Hunter Valley Farm for this Uncle Mo four-year-old. What a nice win this is. 7-1.
Just three races remaining now.
That was a heck of a ride by Flavion Pratt. He never gave up on this filly.
Wow.
That's close.
He sent a lot of horses to California, or not a lot, but he sent some to California. They hadn't run that well in that, but obviously this one's run the best of any of them in that by a long shot.
Yeah, this was a horse that Fletcher had early in her career, and Hunter Valley Farm, thinking obviously long-term about Broodmare as a Broodmare prospect. And she was turned over in the November sale, Night of Stars sale. And as a result, boy, she's now suddenly 3-for-3. And at the end of the season last year, Pletcher moved her to the grass. Brad Cox has got her right back on the dirt. And, she's, as a four-year-old, stepped forward and made a nice progression and takes yet another step forward and is now a grade one winner.
I was going to say, this is a grade one. Fantastic. That's going to look good on the paper.
The only skepticism I had was the fact that his horses haven't really run that well out here. And the other thing was that this horse had been on LASIK the last two times, but it looks like that doesn't matter in that.
Well, it mattered. It certainly mattered last year when she had a couple of options mid-year, and Pletcher used some LASIKs and then took her off, and she really didn't perform.
That's right.
This is a funny horse, and
that was my main reservation.
I get it.
No LASIKs in that.
This is a clever purchase by Hunter Valley. Wow. Wow, turns right around, wins the Bayakoa, ships to California, and wins the Grade 1 Beholder Mile. And Pletcher was a mile specialist for Pletcher. That was, that was what she had been doing successfully. And you'll remember she was Grade 1 placed at 2 in the Frisette. More importantly for all of that, a $16 winner and probably about a $3 or $4, so call it a $20 boost for players. This is a hugely important opportunity with very little remaining. The two races at Golden Gate, 8 minutes to the eighth, and then a maiden special weight with a full field. This room will be electric, you would think, when we run that ninth race at SF. So looking forward to that. But in the meantime, here's your numbers. $23 into the purses
three races since they bought this horse, they paid for the horse. They would have got somewhere around $60,000 in the Pago.
I want to see how this changes the cut line.
I don't know what
too.
The Bayakoa went for, but likely $200,000, so that's another $120,000. at plus 60, plus the 300 today. So they've roughly got about $480,000, and they paid $400,000 for the horse.
Let's see if we've seen anything, any numbers at the top of the board. Stephen Wells moving steadily with both of his tickets. He's, along with Paul Kalia, he is the fascinating story today. He'll have two tickets at least with one. He's got one optional left, 231.70, Rich, on both tickets. So he's got a tremendous situation going into Sunday.
Fantastic.
Nick Tamaro, our man, Ed Tam. Nick is 37.
There you go.
And he's got one left. Let's get to the cut line and see what this has done with really 2.5 races remaining, because that four horse, other than the player we talked about who had was going to have to play every single race.
He had six bullets left and six races to play, so he had to play everyone.
Exactly. All right, so let's get to 78th, and we're looking at our friend Jerry. There's Jerry McClellan sitting right at 78, 158.70.
I'm just talking to Joe Scanio. What's he sitting at?
Joe Scanio.
He's somewhere around there.
Joe is, he's in good shape. He's 49th with 176. Frank Scatone.
Here we go.
Frank Scatone is 149th, but he's within 20. He's got two optionals left. So sure shot, Frank Scatone's got a chance. When I look up a specific name, it then sends me back to the beginning. So I got to go right back. 158.70. Let's get that number down on paper.
Because I've moved up $6 from the race before. So
We've had two. We had the Fairgrounds race as well.
Okay.
And you did have the even money Winchell favorite for Asmussen win that nightcap at Fairgrounds.
Yes. So it's still probably going to make the 170 as far as the cut line.
Eight horse field coming up in the eighth at Golden Gate. So we will have a race at 7:15 and then one at 7:45 Eastern time. All right. So case will probably be on till about 8:15. All right. Let's go back and let's see who's in the danger zone. And of course, anybody above, obviously, anybody south of 158. And Cheryl McIntyre has slipped to 89th.
I see Albion Benton. He's down with Joe Scanio at 48 and 49th. Steve Walsham Jr., who's won once and finished second once, he's sitting at the 47th spot.
Leaderboard is updated after that race.
Here we go.
Cut line currently stands at 161.80.
So it did move.
Travis Stone's at 161.40.
Wow.
So he's like 79th or 80th.
He's got one bet left.
Yes, he does. 161.40. Good job.
Rich Nielsen's right there on the bubble, too.
Hey Brian, do you see Kenny Jordan?
Kenny's in.
He's in. Oh, good.
Kenny's good. I'm almost positive. Kenny's in. He was
excellent.
He was like in. Kenny's 38.
Oh, fantastic. Okay.
Ken's sitting 38. You know, Jordan. Interesting. Jordan Jane has got two tickets, and one of his tickets, he's going to make it, it looks like he'll make it with both. He's actually finished for the day. So one has got one. He's sitting 14th with his second ticket. His first ticket is eligible for the $1 million bonus, and that one is 42nd.
Oh, so that should be safe, right?
179.90. You would think. Oh, here's the day two leaderboard, and now I see there is a link. Paul Kallia, 213.60 for day money. Dave Browning, $200. Jake Quatta, 179. Christian Orscher, 175. John Nichols, 168.40. So there's your top five for day money. And let's go back. A lot of, I tell you, there's some fresh faces. A lot of fresh faces, Rich.
Good.
In this top 78. Now we've lost the leaderboard. Leaderboard.
Those are some nice scores today. Over $200. That's really
what I'm
doing
looking
it.
At right now is if there's anybody up near the top that's playing for the bonus.
The $1 million
bonus. The best I can find is Jordan James.
Jordan James, who's all, but the interesting thing is, I just said to Rich, he's got his other his eligible ticket is 42nd.
Higher than the,
yes.
Then
no matter your situation, yep. Make sure you hold on to your contest cards for tomorrow.
Yeah, well, how you stand?
You've been using
you're
in. Here. Regardless if you're in the consolation tournament or in the semifinal.
George, here's George Novick, horse owner, and George won Thursday's last chance, first chance. And where do you stand?
I think at 23rd.
Look at you, 24th.
Okay.
24th, 197.40.
I moved from 210 down to 24.
Good job. And today. All today. Outstanding, George. Well done. And actually, your second ticket wasn't disgraceful by any means.
No, but what's the interesting part, by winning the first day, I got my extra card.
Right.
And
That's the one that is going into tomorrow.
That is correct.
Outstanding. George, tell everybody about your horse ownership experiences.
Well, we've owned horses for about 35 years. We basically, it's a hobby. We've met a lot of great trainers, great people in the horse business. Right now, my horses are with Mike and Pat Farrow.
Can't beat
in
them.
Parks. I've had Gary Siaka, who was wonderful at Aqueduct, and even early on Eddie Pleaser in Florida.
Wow!
So we had a nice turn, and we basically just deal with claimers.
You have a lot of fun though. What about work? Have you done? You retired?
I'm retired.
What'd you do?
I was a New York City school teacher.
Oh wow!
And I owned a children's day camp.
How about that?
For 30 years.
On the island or?
In Jersey.
How about that? I love it. So you were around for Albert Schenker.
I love Albert Schenker.
Yeah, so does every teacher that'll ever work, ever work in the New York system.
I'm not happy now.
Well, my wife's a teacher.
I mean, and you know, there's a whole thing going on with the health insurance.
Is that right?
In the city, yes.
All right. Well, we're up in the hinterlands.
You're fine.
Teaching the farmer's children. Too nice, George. George, I'm delighted for you. What are you going to do tonight?
I'm going to try to rest. That's number one. And then I'll start the handicapping.
You're going to just play loose tomorrow? Or
It's pick and play.
Just sort of pray. Yeah.
Whatever I pick, I don't change them when I get here, unless the horse is scratched, and I'll just get another horse to fill in.
Will you do most of your work tonight, make your picks tonight, and then...
Totally.
Very good.
Totally do all the picks tonight, and when I get here, all I'm going to do is use the cards and make my bets.
Excellent. George, well done. Congratulations.
Yeah. And I'll call you the next time in 7.
Outstanding. Without fail. How great is that? I did. I told Gary. Yeah, I called.
He sent me a congrats.
That's tremendous.
That's a nice story, Steve. That is a really nice story.
I'm delighted, just delighted for George. This is the eighth at, let's get, was this the eighth or the ninth? The eighth at Golden Gate?
Eighth at Golden Gate.
Here we go.
And Leros, good beginning. Lady Sermon on the four outside, put into play early. Work to Live sent for speeds, got the lead. Lady Sermon, 90 Day Dean seems logical across the track. 90 Day Dean pretty keen to go on here in the early stages, gets to the outside. Vronsky faint down on the fence. Agree to Disagree next, shuffle back to run in midfield early. Miss Maya second to last, alongside of Mama Mocha, who joins her as they round the clubhouse turn. Work to Live with a clear lead and now slows the pace right down. Work to Live, the pacemaker by a length and a half, seems logical. Going in a good position, takes the second spot. Vronsky, Fane, Naughty Nadine side by side. Then another pair, Lady Sermon, Agree to Disagree, and two back to the last duo who are together at the back, Mama Mocha and Miss Maya down the back stretch. Work to Live, 5 furlongs left to go in the contest. Leads by a length, seems logical. Second, Naughty Nadine on a hold third. So is Vronsky, Fane tucked in on the inside. Lady Sermon, Agree to Disagree side by side. They're three from the top, another two to Miss Maya. Mama Mocha half length off of her as they approach the four turn run, and it's been an easy tempo. They've handed the lead to Work to Live. Let's see if she can take advantage of it. Work to Live a length in front still, seems logical. Niggled along in second. Naughty Nadine three wide has not been asked for her best yet. She's creeping in three deep. Another two to Vronsky Faint. She's sent along. Agree to Disagree gets a tap on the shoulder to pick it up. The others have got to get going as they come off the turn. Work to Live off the turn, trying to give them the slip now. Seems logical. Coming up alongside has run a good race today, and Vronsky Faint behind the leaders. Can she find a way out of traffic? She's going to try to get to the outside. Vronsky Faint, Work to Live seems logical. Continue to slug it out. Mama Mocha coming late. It's too late, and Work to Live just stole it. Work to Live all the way. Seems logical. Second, Mama Mocha third. Vronsky Faint can agree to...
Well, Rich, this was an 11-1 shot that seemed to have every reason to go by a Grayson for Harris Farm with Evan Roman at 11-1 and just could not get past the Steve Sherman leader at 7-2. There will be some decent place money, though, for those that were cheering home the 11.
Yeah,
the 11-1 shot.
It kind of looked like a merry-go-round where he had the two stationary positions. That horse on the outside just would not go by. Either the horse hung or the other one just showed inordinate courage to hang on to the lead.
Well, the race that everybody is waiting for is obviously this Golden Gate Nightcap. As I mentioned, our longtime friend Jerry McClellan, the cousin of the late Paul Pompa, who basically was the stable manager for years and years and years. Come sit down, John. Well, and you're waiting for this Gulfstream. We're on Golden Gate.
Yeah.
We're talking. You got 2 seconds? Because I know Gus is listening.
Yeah.
And John Costin, who is as great a job as John does in this kind of contest play, an outstanding live money player that has hit for 5 and 6 figure scores consistently.
Rainbow on Sunday.
No, what'd that pay? 40?
40,000.
42, something like that?
I was alive to 7 horses in a last leg. Like,
how about that?
So that was a nice feeling.
How big a ticket? Tell people, you know, this is such a divisive topic. You know, there's even a school of thought that, you know, for the longest time it was you play on force out days. Then there came, you know, the philosophy that, you know, that the big hitters were even squeezing everybody then. What's your thought on it? Has your approach changed to the rainbows? And how big of a ticket do you put in on a day like that to get a $40,000 hit?
The final day, when it's a mandatory payout, I usually play a little bit bigger. And I get a couple partners for 10%. And I was singled to the 8 horse in the 5th leg.
Wow.
So that was, but he won like he was, you know, 1-5. So we knew how good that one was and leaned on him. And it allowed me to stretch out and include that one horse in the second or third leg. It was 20-1 morning line. I would have never included him if I had to, you know, go, you know, too deep in that race. So that made the ticket. That 20-1 they bet down to 5-1 last click.
It's a blur now, but
normally I'll play anywhere from 240 to 480, something in that range. And last year I was had the shot at that jackpot for $240,000. That was the only ticket with Paco on the favorite.
I remember you said Gus sent
Paco
me
on the favorite.
Yep.
And he got blocked three times.
That's right. Oh my God.
I got the video on my phone. I look at it. It's just still heartbreaking. And Todd Trupp is like, "Oh, that poor soul."
I remember that.
So, but today, I just had a little bit of a run late in the day and got a bullet left.
What did you come in with today?
$40. So I got 149 now.
How's the day gone? I mean, how have you approached the day?
I threw away some crazy bullets at 30-1s, 20-1s, and they just didn't do nothing. So the mandatories, I ran pretty good in the mandatories. I think the whole thing yesterday came down to I got nipped that 6 horse that was 6-1 and that even money at Aqueduct. Nipped him at the wire. I lost a horrible photo, and that's another $14 there. Then the last race of the day, I'm between two horses, both 9-1. I didn't pick the two. There's a 9-1 winner. My horse is up the track right there. So, and then we all passed. We all liked the 5 horse at Tampa today, like 8-9-1.
The turn back.
We liked him. We passed on it. And there was a 20-some dollar. So a couple mistakes today cost us. But, I'm here with Steve Aronson, who's a great tournament player, and he's sitting right with me, 145. And we both got one bullet left, so.
And it's going to be tough. In fact, let's see.
See what the odds are.
Are they official?
They update it yet.
Yeah, they are. All right, they're official. And so
I might have to go higher now than the 161 that I thought. I was trying to get to like 165 maybe. Like a 5-6-1.
Yeah, maybe 170 even as high as that, or.
Well, here let's take a look.
Yeah, we're at 167.
Let's.
So I'm going to need something 8-1 or higher.
Yeah.
And hope nobody else has it.
Right.
And I thought my horses had a shot to be 5-1, but not 8-1. So I'm going to have to reconfigure a little bit here.
John, how long have you played the contest scene?
Just recently, I would say the last. 4 years when, I go to O'Brien's contest at Monmouth. He runs unbelievable contests there.
Yes, he does.
And that's how I qualified mostly. And then I start playing the bigger contests because I like more of an opportunity rather than a pick and pray for two spots out of 300 guys. So I won the Keeneland Grade 1 Gamble. I finished third there, which got me the seat for here in the Breeders' Cup. This year to Monmouth, the Pick Your Prize contest, that's why I'm here this year. So the bigger contests, I had live money. Because I'll send it in. The Breeders' Cup Challenge, right up my alley.
Yeah.
Just got to get lucky, and I can hammer it.
I mean, there's probably a chance. In fact, $7,500 is a smaller bankroll than you normally play in the
Breeders'
Cup.
That's what I said. Last year, I didn't qualify for it, so I said, look, I'm playing that amount anyway. I might as well buy in and go for some extra prize money.
And go sit there and be treated like a prince, and it makes a lot of sense.
But I was actually on my way to St. Martin, so I was betting it from the air. Going to St. Martin, the Breeders' Cup. We flew out on that Saturday. How bad is that?
What a trip. That's pretty funny.
So I had to buy internet on the plane so I could see what's going on.
Oh, my God.
And text my buddy back at home so he could put the bets in. So
that's a great story.
All right, let me go look at this race.
Best of luck. All right, John Costin, everybody.
Good work.
John Costin joining us.
Good luck.
I know that Gus is listening, and I'm sure he's getting a big kick out of it, hearing John on the show. They're pals. Here we are. We got 20 minutes to the nightcap, and let's dive into this. I have not looked at anything when it comes to this group, so I'm going to turn it over to you guys a little bit, and I'll start looking myself at the PPs for the first time. While you're doing that, let me also provide this latest update. No movement at the top of the leaderboard, other than the story with Stephen Wells, which is really one of the sidebars in addition to Paul Callie's big move. A couple of other important names. We already talked about Brett Weiner. Brett Weiner up to 20th. One of the top players. Nick Tamaro, another hit, 23rd. And let me get Nick over here because he's done for the day. And we will get Nick to come and join us.
The man was clutch.
Well, and this is a fun story because Nick is a guy that acknowledges that this is not his style. So we will get Nick here because he can now relax. And you want to come over? Thanks. Nick Tamaro is going to join us, and we'll get his story on a spectacular day that's moved him to 23rd. And I'm curious about, I'm going to be curious where he is on the day money, because Nick had, with one more score, he had to get.
Is he done or has he got?
He's done.
Okay.
He's done. I tell you what, good day, but he must have been okay coming into it because he's not on the top of the leaderboard. There's John Costin, who we just talked to. John, over $100 today, as he mentioned. And there he is.
How are you?
So
great.
And so what? This is an emerging story. An emerging story.
Yeah, it was a good day. My best NHC day ever, no doubt about it. $141, I think.
But just below day money kind of level.
Yeah. Well, the day money, I mean,
Callie out of control.
Is that who it is?
213.
That's incredible.
Well,
that's incredible.
Clocker John, 168.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I did it very much my kind of style, which is very grindy, very minute to minute. I don't play a lot of 20 plus to one shots, so I had the 17 to one at Oaklawn, the 12 for McPeak, and then I hit the last two optionals, and both of those winners were available on twinspires.com, expert picks.
Did you give out the?
I did, yeah.
The
last winner at Gulfstream,
well,
and we
all realized later, the first off the claim.
Well, that guy's huge off the claim, exactly.
It
yeah, huge numbers off the claim.
How did the horse even go that place?
Well, and interestingly, he owns a number of the horses that Amira Chichokli and Mitch Friedman have been winning with in New York. So his first off the claim magic is up and down the East Coast.
Well, and
hey, if you got to stay on top of it.
Well,
right, that's the point.
Exactly, and who was it I was talking to yesterday? That's so funny. Was it Duke or somebody? And they were saying, we'd rather know than not know, or have the ability to make a judgment. And I'm not saying that these people that are doing illegal things.
Right.
We're just saying, there's people that, have streaky performance that, at least you have a read as opposed to,
You can be a sharp claimer and have no, and that's your edge, right?
Exactly.
You might be able to identify horses that are good claims. I mean, you could have Marshall Graham come over and talk to you about quality claims over the years. He's made plenty of them. So the other thing, too, is, I mean, from a handicapping standpoint, the 7th at Santa Anita will go down as one of the craziest overlays we've seen in this contest, in my opinion, because why the horse that Flavian Pratt was on was a fourth of the price of the winner, I'll never know. But, the public hones in on a very simple amount of information in off-the-turf situations, in my opinion. And so I like the 9. I like the 9 when I handicapped it for dirt yesterday, and I was shocked at the price. Pleasantly surprised.
Flying Troop nailed that high, wide, and handsome. The Adam Kitchingman.
Yeah. Kitchingman. Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. It was a great ride by Valdivia. Got the horse into position, and, my last play was just now at Golden Gate, the 2. So it was one of those days where when you needed them to hold, they held, and, I'll take it.
Unbelievable. I mean, what do you say, or what can you conceive is any different about the selection process, or, what made today work that hasn't worked in the past?
I mean, when you have an idea what you want to do the night before, the morning of, and they pan out, it makes a hell of a big difference. It goes without saying, but the thing that makes this contest so tough is that you can handicap really well and walk out of here with $40 in your bankroll, right? There's a lot of racing luck, there's a lot of things that go into each individual race, because we're looking at 70 plus races. So today I had a little racing luck on my side, and I was the beneficiary
a slight beneficiary of a DQ. I had the one that got put up into second.
Oh, the 16-to-1 shots.
And I'll tell you what, people are going to look at my plays and they're going to see some very short prices from yesterday, but that was what was necessary. You know, I took the 9-to-5 Chad that won yesterday, and I took a Diodoro horse around 6-to-5 yesterday just because I knew I didn't want to get into this situation where I was looking at this kind of race at Santa Anita or a 12-horse race at Golden Gate trying to backfit a play. So that part I'm happy about the way I handled
that. That was my follow-up, which was, are you unhappy that you don't have a play now? Jerry McClellan, Jerry specifically saved his last, and he's on the cut. He is the cut line. He saved it specifically because he said he's cashed nothing but maiden specials today, and he saved for this race in particular.
Yeah, I mean, my regular handicapping is done from the last race forward because, I mean, there's such a dichotomy nowadays between the quality of the races at the beginning of the cards and the latter part. So, I mean, I'm used to handicapping backwards, and I think on day two of this tournament, there's a huge edge to handicapping backwards because, especially, I mean, there's a good chunk of this room is not really very Golden Gate familiar. And so if this is your kind of race, if you like pedigrees or you like to play maiden special weight races, then yeah, I mean, I'd rather have an optional at this point than not, right? Especially if I was around the cut line.
Exactly. And Brian, for you know Nick at all?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, we've met years ago. Yeah.
Years ago in that.
Yeah.
So on in that.
How about Nick? How about some of the rest of the table? Travis.
Travis was in contention. Unfortunately, he stalled out. You know, I was getting excited for Travis, and I realized, you know, I do need to play the rest of this contest. And right after that, I hit the 12 at Oaklawn, and that kind of got me going a little bit. But yeah, I was the low man at the table at about 1 o'clock, and now I'm the only one that's going to be playing tomorrow. So it's amazing.
Travis
how
is not there anymore.
No, he's not. He fell out.
He popped in.
He got up to 161, and then he liked the 1 and the 9 in the 7th at Santa Anita, and he went with the 1. And I was on the 9 from the beginning, and so that the other thing was there was a 14-to-1 shot at Oaklawn that won middle of the card, and he liked two horses in the race and opted for the other one there too. So just one of those where, you know, you zigged when they zagged, and that was unfortunate.
Yeah, there's been a couple today that in the mandatory race at Tampa Bay Downs, I told them that I like either the Brian Lynch horse,
yeah,
the first time starter,
right,
from Durham,
right.
Well, he broke his maiden, and I like Graham Motion's horse and that,
yeah,
because, and so on and that. Needless to say, I picked the wrong
and
one.
And Motion ended up winning.
Pardon?
Motion ended up winning.
Yeah,
at like 5-to-1 or so.
Yeah,
right?
that was the one,
yeah,
horse.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that horse was 9-to-1 close to post time too, and the bunch. I felt like I was the only one at the table who didn't have it.
Yeah, but Nick, I was sitting with my friend Kenny Jordan. And he liked that horse, and what you said absolutely happened. He had Gallardo, and the Motion horse was like about 9-to-1.
Yeah.
Across the finish line, the horse was 5-to-1.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, you win a race, but like you feel like you got cheated.
Oh, it's tough, man. It is. That's one of the and in this, you know, in this format, that's brutal when you've got to deal with that kind of stuff. But you know, look, we see it on a daily basis, of course, but yeah, it really rears its ugly head here.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was just, you know, it was one of those where I was in a very, not really a contending position at the end of yesterday. Not contending for the top, but, you know, I would still need a lot of things to happen to have a chance to get to the final table, but, you know, better to at least have the opportunity.
Well, let's figure that out, actually, and get a feel for what, you know, where things go. You're at 200. Final table is 229.
Right. It's very, very little.
You're, yeah, right there.
Yeah. And, you know, now looking at the prize structure, I mean, obviously my initial goal is going to be to get in the top 10 because the difference between the top 10 and everything else is pretty gigantic, right? I mean, the difference between 23rd and 78th is like $5,000, but the difference between 23rd and 10th is $40,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I will also, if I am lucky enough to get to the final table, I'll be the guy that's trying to inch up $5 or $8 at a time because it makes that much more of a difference in your prize money.
Nick, you're the opposite of me. Last year in 2015 when I was in the final table, I was ninth going in. Actually, Mike Ferozzo was a bit ahead of me. He was seventh, I think, in that. Both Mike and I ended up ninth, and Mike ended up tenth. But we weren't playing.
You took your shots.
We weren't taking. Yeah. We weren't trying to move up to fifth, sixth.
I don't blame you. Well, you got to
now. If you like somebody along the way, you got to try.
Yeah. If I got up to fourth or so, then it's maybe a different story.
Yeah, because, that's true.
But you see, you're not really. You're getting. In that case, I got $55,000 for ninth, and that. I think I was only going to get $75,000.
It's not that much
six.
Of a difference, right?
So
yeah.
$20,000 is $20,000.
Yeah.
But $200,000 or $800,000.
Well, that makes a big difference.
Is a different
yeah,
story.
For sure.
So you're still trying.
Totally different ball game at that point. So.
Got to ask, we're about 8 minutes. Let's handicap this nightcap. Did you look at this at all?
I did. I mean, I looked at it long enough to know I wanted to bet the race before it. But, thanks, Rich. I have them right on
you got
too.
There?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, I will admit I did not do the pedigree work. So normally I would take down the stats on all the sires and write out the damn productivity and performances themselves. So I didn't. I did notice... there was a horse that I thought was awfully high on the morning line that had run well first time out, the 9, who's 5-1, which makes sense. I mean, that horse was 10-1 on the morning line. I didn't know really how much better she was going to have to run than she did on debut. If I was involved in the contest still, I can tell you the 10 would very much be my kind of horse. Good first out effort, showed speed, hot pace, now second time out. You figure that she's going to move forward a little bit.
Who's that, the 9 horse?
The 9, yeah. 9 and 10 is kind of who I like.
The two horses that I have marked are the horses that are running the 9. And looking in the paddock, the one's got blinkers on. The one's been working good, like some real good
work
in the
very
one.
Fast works, yeah.
Right now, if I have to play the race at 6 minutes a post, there's no question that I'm playing the 1. The 1 looked real good in the paddock. If he looks that good out in the track, and that,
yeah.
He'd be the one I play.
Well, and Jonathan Wong and Tommy Town, 5-1, fair enough. Now, of course, the problem you got here, you know, depending on where you sit and trying to reach the cut line, which is at, 162 right now.
Right.
And you got to figure it's going to move up another, $8?
Probably. Yeah, I mean, the minimum somebody's getting to place right now is probably $5.
Like,
so, yeah, you're figuring something like that, $6.
Like the 1 horse, he just dropped to 9-2. He's got the 1 hole. He has to get out of there to get in position and so on. Otherwise, he's going to have people horses all in front of him and that. I think maybe the fact that they did put blinkers on, I think he's a send down the road for all these.
The individual Frank Wynn, and Rich, maybe as somebody with an Asian descent,
that's me.
The spelling, am I sure? Yes, I'm sure that Rich is Asian descent. The Vietnamese, Nguyen, right? Win. They pronounce it Win.
Win.
I've heard it pronounced Win. Sure.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It always amazes me. I at some point I learned that, and so whenever I see it, I just say Win. Now, Frank Win, who we talked about an hour ago, had 6 optionals with 6 races available, and he has clawed his way to 77.
And look, I mean, what that all hinges on is if you wanted your day to go that way, right? If you liked those 6 races, then that is exactly the position you want to be in. But, you know, I have found myself, this contest is extraordinarily difficult when it comes to preparing for every single race. So you're going to find some races that you're not quite as ready for. And to me, if they're all at the back end of the day on day 2, it's probably not the best thing.
A couple of people that are going to fall short that were in. Rich Nilsson had been in position all
today, and he's going to fall short, 158, and he's done for the day. Peter Dressen's made a run, and he's going to fall short like Travis, 161.80.
But he'll still be the most well-dressed man in here.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's for sure.
How about, let's see.
Lovely guys, man, Peter Dressen.
Yeah, he's a delight.
How about Gary Fenton of Little Red Feather Racing in seventh now?
Steady yep. progress.
Paul Kush is also a very good contest player. He's hung around quite a bit.
What do you make of Stephen Wells with the two tickets that he's played identically the whole 2 days?
So, I've always thought that was the most interesting way to play two entries. I've never done it. I did take the 12 at Oaklawn on both of mine earlier, and I got the other one to $119. I just didn't hit again after that. I do have one play left, though, so I will play a long shot at Golden Gate on that one, on the lower one. But I think it's a... I've heard a lot of people tell me it's brilliant. Do it. If you're hitting, you're going to add that much power to your tickets, and then get to Sunday and then split them.
Well, look at him now. He can only...
Can he only take one to the final table?
That's the Jonathan rule, right?
Really? Okay. Well, then he really needs to split him tomorrow.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Playing two tickets in that, I've always been of the thought, once you get one shot, one long shot on one ticket, you don't...
You stay with the long shots.
If you play long shots, you yeah. play them on both tickets. You don't just play them on one.
I agree. I was at 59 and 52 coming into today, and obviously only have the one that really rose up the board. But I would have certainly been better off playing some of the prices on both. But you know,
how many get in today?
78. The rail horse is now down to 7-2.
Whoa.
That's been a steady, steady, steady decline. But it is Jonathan Wong and Tommy Town.
Well, look at him on the track, and that he looks like a bear cat, and that he's got blinkers on. He looks like he's wired for sound.
Rich, did you come up with a play?
Well, I tell you what, I was just listening to Nick, and I respect Nick's opinion very much so. But when he pointed out to the 10, the Jersey Sunset, and the early fractions of those, that last race, that debut race, and I'm actually familiar with Marcia Storz because she raced in Southern California, won a lot of races like at Los Al. She's very good, you know, and but she doesn't get much stock, obviously.
Right.
But she's very good, and I could see Nick's angle. This horse might just go on the A train and not be caught.
Yeah, I mean, to me, one of the tools that I now can't live without when it comes to a handicapping perspective is Timeform US. And Timeform has the pace in her last start on the faster side, which, you know, that's... Those are the kind of horses I want to bet back, right? You showed speed in a negative kind of scenario, I'm on board.
Yeah. They can't find enough money for this one horse.
I'll tell you, once they heard you extol the virtues of the one, the public lined up. Can't blame them, right?
If they knew how much I knew about Golden Gate, they wouldn't be lining up.
Well, I joked at the table before, and I said a room full of people that probably never watched Golden Gate have never had a more important race in their contest playing life.
You know what's funny? A.J. Benton, he's a big Golden Gate fan.
He is.
And he maybe more than that, not that it's hurt him that much, but he's one of the Santa Anita situation has impacted him.
The reason I don't really do too much on Golden Gate is because often in HBI Woodbine, they don't show it on the TV. Now, I can still watch it on the iPad and their computer. But
yeah.
By that time of day, I'm in Eastern Track.
Yeah.
I've played all day. You just don't...
Yeah, I mean, my roots are with a New Yorker getting taken to the track.
This course went to 2-1 now.
So we were gone by the time the Midwest tracks were done. So, you know, I've just never... It's only recently that I've become more of a fan of Southern California racing.
Jonathan Wong
the word's out, huh?
He must be betting all his money.
Yeah.
People are piling on now.
Piling on.
It's almost unfair, you know?
What's the number right now for the cut?
162.20.
162.20. It feels like it's usually right around there.
Here's the last 3 years. Last year, 156. Year before, 172. And 2020, 198.
That's high.
What year was...
In 2020, there were mandatory winners at 40-1 and 20-1 on that card.
Wasn't that Travers?
No, that was pre-COVID. So that would have been 2021 was August.
I'll tell you a funny story about
that. That's the one that I didn't get in the final 10. I finished 12th that year. Oof.
I was downstairs with Andy Burke.
Okay.
Gumpster Stable. And we were having yogurt, frozen yogurt. And I forget what we were talking about, Saratoga or Triple Crown or something. And Andy said, my wife is a virologist. She said, there won't be a Triple Crown. She goes, he said, everything's going to be shut down. This was in February. He said, this thing is coming. It's going to be a pandemic. He said, it's going to shut down everything. Andy Bird was the first person I heard that from. Wow.
Yeah, I remember Pat Cummings telling me that because Pat's now wife was living in Hong Kong at the time, and they were dealing with it about, 3 weeks to a month before us.
Right.
And he said, oh, this thing's going to be very, very bad. There's going to be no tournament. There's going to be no Triple Crown. And I thought, wow, it's just not going to happen. But
yeah, they saw the tsunami building. Wow.
They did. They sure did. So, well, this is fun.
You're in. What are you?
I'm in, right?
You're more than in. You're laughing. You're laughing.
Last week when I won that Gotham contest, I got a text after the 9th race from somebody that said congratulations. I almost deleted them from my phone. I don't think they realized there was a 10th race. It was like, oh my gosh. Have you not seen A Bronx Tale? This is like Eddie Mushwerk if I've ever seen it, right?
No. Clearly, and actually you're the highest placed employed racetrack announcer.
It became a match race. Three more Steve, you're an evil tempter.
Here at Golden Gate is the last race for the NHC today. It determines who makes it to the finals. Only the top 78 after the last race here at Golden Gate make it. So if you are
Dinnerman's
for that,
Dinnerman's pumped.
Best of luck to you.
He's not pumped.
All
not
the horse players out there, wherever you may be.
He's
you
pumped.
Are a
Matt
huge,
Dinnerman is an employee that every race track
should
have.
We get to love our sport. It is because of you, the horse player and dedicated fan.
We're going to take a video because I
two
think this is going
to
be.
To round out the group.
This should be fun.
Proof two to the two outside post and serious secret.
There's Bacik. Bacik wants the 10 over there. Ben Bacik trying to
need the 10.
He's close.
Up to the gate. She's in. And bullet proof two. To round out the group. We're ready to go.
Get ready for the roar when they turn for home.
This should be fun.
The rider hopped off bulletproof two. Cristobal Herrera, she was just getting a little stirred up in there, but nothing to worry about here. Looks like he's going to climb back aboard.
A little added drama.
Yeah.
As if there's, you can cut the tension.
Not that you've ever tried to do something like that, Steve.
Now we're ready.
Just about set.
Yeah, and you definitely don't want to deal with any trouble from the inside, no doubt.
Laros in the nightcap. Serious secret.
And he did not get out.
Slowly from the inside post is towards the back of the pack, moving up to pass runners in front of midfield early. Just a little luck has the most early gas.
It might not.
Leads the way from Hemmenhol's Fiesta, Jersey Sunset there, Tudor's Forest.
The nine.
Four deep on the course, within a length of
9
the
and 10 were both forwardly placed.
Rose of Mooncoin right off that point.
Kind of what we
running
expected.
In the fifth spot. Serious secret has made up ground.
11 is right there.
Away. She's running in midfield with
what are we looking at odds wise?
LC Gray between that pair. Farther back to bulletproof.
The 11
is sent along, joined
the 11 by 75
to 1. Topper's chief. This is second to last.
Not in this Barbera room.
Could see them all as they approach the quarter pole. Just a little luck. Tries to give him the slip at the quarter pole. Steps on the gas and opens up two. Rose of Mooncoin falls.
2 and 8 to 1 is a huge player
losing
for the
position.
Contest.
Third under pressure.
Turns for home with
Sunset.
The lead.
Magic Cromer next with a furlong to go. It's just a little luck. Still
5 to 5 gets a lot of people in.
3 lengths here.
5 is 5 to 1.
A little luck for Evan Roman, who's had a huge day today. He's going to pick pick up his fifth win on the card. Just a little luck at 8-1 wins it. Rosa Boone Coin second, Francesca Del Tigre third, Photo for fourth, Jersey Sunset.
So there you go, Steve. That probably probably works out with what you said about maybe $8 or so added to the cut line. That seems like a fair estimate, right?
This was a 7-2 morning line horse and goes off at 8-1. Andy Mathis with Evan Roman, who, as Matt Dinnerman mentioned, has been winning all day long. Look at this.
Yeah, he said five wins for Roman.
Five wins?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Wow. Wow. So you're looking at an $18 winner, maybe 19, plus probably about $6 placement money. This will be a $23, $24
pop. I would say it'll add probably...
Number two, Just a Little Luck was first. Photo finish for second.
It was one. What was it going in? 161?
162.
You think it'll add that much, $18?
It
wasn't that loud in here is the only thing I'll say. But I'm a quiet rooter, so I can't always assume that that people are all going to go nuts. But you could be right. My guess is probably about 172. I think it'll add $8 to $10, but I'm not going to be shocked either way. I'm not going to be shocked if it adds 15. I'm not going to be shocked if it adds 3, because I just don't know how many people were probably sitting on this horse waiting.
Let me see how many people behind that have tickets left.
That's what I'm looking here, and there's quite a few that were on 9 and were playing their 10th, including yeah. Matt Miller, one of the bonus babies at 157.60.
I wonder if he had a play there.
He had a play.
Did he play the two?
I don't know.
But okay.
There were about 15 or 20 people that below that could move up. Now, you don't know how many of them played the horse in that.
Other tracks currently running, on some basketball games, ticket riders will stay for any horse or race.
You know, the thing is, Nick, this was such a tough race. There were probably a half a dozen horses that fit the profile and the price line that you're looking for, 7, 8, 10, 12 to 1.
And
tough race.
Yeah, and you know, I think you get into these scenarios and you have people that are chasing 15s and 20s, not so many 8s, because not that many people that need 8s are necessarily going to be that close to the cut line, I think. I don't know. It's all
78
anecdotal. But, you know,
78.
If you're chasing, I think the inclination is to go a little deeper.
Go higher. Yeah, sure.
Beware the clock switch tonight. For those of you out at 2 a.m., it's going to go right to 3
I'm guessing that maybe...
doors open tomorrow at 7 a.m.
Mike Sylvester and Flanagan stay in, and they're at 167.
Post time 9:18.
Waiting for a photo that I guess...
it was closer than I thought.
I agree. I wouldn't expect it, unless maybe even something further back, too. They play, you know, they're...
Yeah.
With the high five and whatnot, so it might have been something further back.
I'll go on record that... Mike Sylvester had an... I'm guessing that Dan Flanagan's the...
The cutoff?
Right on the... 167 something.
All right.
We had a little side action at our table yesterday. I made the over under on Cap Horses 2.5. Only one guy wanted the over. The number was 0.
Wow.
Today's over under was 5.5. I don't know exactly how many there were.
Has there been
four?
A cap horse?
At most.
Not cap win and place.
No.
It felt like every capped win had a low place price.
I agreed. I don't see any cap.
You want me to tell you a secret? That of all the tournaments I've played in, like NHC here, I have never had a cap for, in other words, $64. I've had cap wins and, you know, $21.
Never hit one.
But I finished first, ninth, 12th, and 27th.
That's pretty damn good.
And
you've never needed one.
And I've never had a $64.
That's great. Yeah, me either. 18-1, 17-1. I had a 20-1 once, but it wasn't a cap place.
It wasn't a
$64.
I've had a cap $42, but I didn't get the 22 to place. And the same, I've had all kinds of place ones paying $22.
That's so funny. And you know what's funny is the two times I played the Horse Player World Series, I had a 28-1 and a 60-1. I can only hit cap horses at Orleans.
The 60-1, you must have got the full.
I got the whole thing on that, yeah. But not in the NHC. No. That was the Horse Player World Series.
I hit, Parada brought me out 2006 for the World Series. I had never played a contest. First day, I got absolutely skunked. I got nothing. Day two, I cashed three things. Third day, I went, I think, 8 for 11, and I hit a thing in Louisiana. It would have been what? It was January?
Fairgrounds. So
it must have been Fairgrounds.
Yes.
I hit a 28-to-1 shot. I had to survive a
claim a foul?
Claim a foul or an inquiry. And I was 11th for day money, and 10th was the cutoff. But I ended up staying in Vegas like extra two or three nights, and then I went to L.A. for like four nights because I bet the horse on the nose too.
That's great.
It paid like 58. I hit for like 1,800.
Nice.
It was crazy.
Very nice.
That's
crazy.
Great.
I should look that up and see what I should look that up.
There was a dead heat for four.
I was going to say there had to be a dead heat.
I'm guessing the 167.60 that Flanagan has. He's either going to just make it or just get knocked out, I think.
Well, they're calling.
So we're expecting somewhere around $8 to $10 added to the current cut line.
Yeah.
It's official. Prices are not up yet, and so it'll be another couple of minutes.
There are a lot of people, Steve, sitting on the edge of their seat right now.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
John Costin just came by. He ended up settling on the five. He got off the two because he said that he thought the price was going to come down.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Too.
See what these prices come up as. Fans of the two are going to look for a little good breakage.
John Costin had an interesting aside. He said that the one and the two were basically the same price in doubles.
Interesting.
In the will, so he got off the two because he figured the two was going to come down, and he went to the five, and he said he would have gotten. Here we go.
Prices are up.
1940 and 880, so 2820.
Bing.
That's going to add a chunk, no doubt about
it. Yes, sir.
2820.
That's going to make it interesting.
Let's see if it's already plugged in. Not yet.
You know, this horse was favored in three of its last four starts.
Yeah.
And goes off at 8-to-1.
It's funny, you know. Just never know.
620 on that place price, and there'll be somebody that that survives because of that.
Absolutely. Good thing my dinner reservation is not till 6:45.
What you guys going for sushi up
tonight?
Sushi
samba.
Sushi samba.
Strong.
Sushi samba.
We've done Italian two nights in a row, so.
Carbone?
Carbone last night and Piero's Thursday night. Piero's with Roxy.
Piero with Roxy is big.
It was very, very strong. Yeah, Roxy Beautiful. Is very popular at Piero's.
It's popular everywhere.
Well, Pat Cummings knows probably three or four popular people in the whole world, Roxy being one of them. That'll at least are willing to associate with him.
That's a good guy to know.
Leaderboard is updated, so here we go. Let me refresh.
I lost four spots.
Did you really?
He got it. He stayed.
All right, Francis Bustani stays. Doc Bustani stays first. Paul Kallia. But Gary Fenton ends up third.
Wow.
After day two.
Wow, good for him.
How about
Fenton? It's a strong move.
Stephen Wells, looks like he got the place price on the five horse.
Used the same. Frank Wynn misses by a buck. Travis Stone missed by a dollar and change.
Wow. Let's get down to 78. The cutoff. Ron. Well, wait a minute. This is not. Hold on. This is not refreshed.
Let me
reboot this because I'm still showing the one from 17 minutes ago. Do you have the searchable?
Brian did. I didn't pull it up.
The day two totals.
No, this is not there. The searchable is not. The searchable is not caught up.
So unofficially, Paul Kallia finished with the highest day two total.
27th pick?
27. My daughter was born on the 27th.
How
so? I like it. It's a good sign.
Our friend George Novick, who stopped by, he ends up 30th. Kenny Jordan, 39th, Rich.
Yeah, good.
John Nichols, 39th, tied for 39th. Joe Scagno, 191. He's 36th. Joe Paese, home run in. Joe set 35. Howard Kravitz makes it.
Howard Kravitz 34. Had a very good day. Excellent handicap.
John Nichols, 44. So John's got both of his tickets.
Both, yep. Always dangerous with money.
Joe Rosen. Tony Jones drives
another,
to the
room. Another guy that
Steve
you don't
Wilson
really want
Jr.
to be close.
Jim Meeks.
There's a lot of guys in there that are good.
AJ.
AJ still there?
Yep, AJ. AJ
still
slept.
There.
Here, take mine. I'm good. I'm going to go back. All right. AJ Benton back with us.
That's four now.
Four for four casting. That's great.
Yep. That's great.
That's true.
59. It's fine. I had a bad day, but.
Yeah, but you had a good day yesterday, right?
Yep.
That's what matters.
Yeah, I had something dragged me into it. You know what I mean? My host didn't run today, but
right.
You know, there's tomorrow.
That's good.
That's all you can do. What were you playing down the stretch?
I played 15 one shot, first time starter, broke bad. And then I had another horse that just found all sorts of trouble coming from him, and it just wasn't enough. So that's okay. It's fine. You know.
How do you set up for tomorrow? Strategy wise?
I need $60. So you figure $60 from where I am would put me at 230. So that's the cut line. So I'm gonna have to do 100 and change plus tomorrow in the morning.
Yeah.
Give or take. But all the pressure's off now, so I came to do the job. The job's done. So now it's try and grab all of it if I can.
I'm gonna take it backwards for the most part. I'm gonna look at the later races first and work my way forward. I mean, I've already looked at Gulfstream and Santa Anita, but that's just how I'm gonna approach it, because
I
feel like
too,
you can't thank you. You can't start chasing early, assuming, oh, I've got to get this right away. That's how I've always gotten myself into trouble in the past. But
yeah,
like you've told me, you play what you like.
Yeah,
you can't. No backfitting. You try and backfit in this contest, you have no shot.
Yeah, you get destroyed.
Yeah, so exactly.
You just play what you like, you move on, and
that's
at
it.
The end of the day, when you go home on that airplane ride home, you want to be like, all right, did I actually play the horses that I actually like?
Right, exactly.
Or was I searching and hoping for miracles?
Yeah.
Amazing.
You're trying to manufacture it. It's not going to work.
No.
So.
Can't force it.
No,
so.
Can't.
You're
can't.
In your position, too.
So. Yeah, I'm happy with where I am. It's the best I've ever been in terms of going to the third day. So, yeah, no.
Anything can happen. These guys can go cold at some point.
You got
it's
that
just,
right.
It's just how it is. So.
You got that right. No question about it.
And, you know, I thank everyone for all the kind words that they say about me. I honestly don't believe half of it, but
well deserved.
No. But I tried.
Search this room and find people batting 1,000 cashing in
four
this thing.
Four for four. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's astounding.
Yeah.
And there's no, you know, you got a long way to go. Tomorrow's, so everybody understands the way this works, 34 races that constitute a semi-final, and everybody of the 78 will be able to play 10 independent races. There's no mandatory in the semifinal, 10 optionals for everybody. So you get the shackles taken off, and you can basically take
your
shots.
You got nothing to lose for tomorrow at all.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing to lose, all to play for. There's just so much equity on being in that group of 10. Obviously, we had a little bit of bump from previous years in all the spots.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit more to play for in every spot. But how far do you want to move, and how much are you willing to just go all in and take horses that you think can get you there?
Right. Nope. Fair point. I agree with that.
So
you got to find them, take prices if you've got them, and inch your way up there.
Yeah, because there's opportunities galore. You just have to see if there's races where you can beat these absolute monsters that, you know, end up winning at 2-1, 3-1, 4-1. So
no doubt.
You have to be selective.
Yes.
Well, the beauty of where you two guys are and the other folks, too, is if you're hot tomorrow, I mean, that's, you just got to get hot
yes.
with the horses that you like. Well, you got to win photos.
Yeah, absolutely. And usually the equity is you got to do $60 on Sunday plus.
Right.
If you do 60 plus, you're going to move up that board exponentially no matter where you are. Nothing matters. Obviously, the guy that's leading has been phenomenal.
Yeah, Francis.
Obviously, he came back down to earth a little bit at the end after he creeped out to a huge lead, and the field's finally cruising in on him. So
pressure. I wondered if he'd have a cap lead going into tomorrow. That was incredible the way he opened it up that quickly. But, you know, I mean, that's why this thing is so, so difficult. I mean, Jose Arias wired it, right? It's
yep.
just to continue to play well day after day, you're going to need equal helpings of great opinions, racing luck,
yeah,
you know, fortune on your side, no cancellations, no off the turfs if you like turf horses, things like that. It's just so much that has to happen. So he's done an unbelievable job to hold the lead anyway. And I mean, he did put 130 on his score today.
Yeah.
Right? That's a damn good day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there is no argument with it. When you pair it up with a $150 day, then it makes it look even more impressive. So
yeah, and it makes me, you know, have the opportunity to take the top off now, because now I have nothing to lose.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I got a little bit tight after I had a couple horses that just didn't run for me, because, you know, the wheels of racing. You
yep,
know what I mean?
Exactly.
Stuck,
situations trapped, happen.
Bad race.
No doubt.
10 wide, you know, but I'm just happy I get the opportunity to maybe make some things happen.
Yep. Yeah. Try to get lucky tomorrow.
You know, most of my tournament play goes back to when Boyd Gaming was active with the Horse Player World Series.
Sure.
The Orleans couple of tournaments, Gold Coast, Sun Coast. And, you know, when you're playing in a 2 and 3 day tournament, it is so hard to put back-to-back good days in
yeah.
a row. Three-day tournament is almost impossible. So, you know what Francis did was fantastic. And, you know, you guys, you know, have a chance to build on a big day, you know, from today. And I tell you what, if you get hot, any one of you guys can still win this thing. That's
absolutely.
That's for darn sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's the good thing about the top three is that, I mean, there's almost $50 between first and fourth right now. So, you know, somebody's going to sneak into this top 10 that has a good morning session tomorrow
yep.
and will then become a contender, especially if those top three guys don't, you know, don't sustain this. And I mean, we're talking about Francis has had two unbelievable days in a row. Paul Kalia just had an unbelievable day, and Gary Fenton just had a huge day. So, you know, the likelihood that they stall out a little bit early, unfortunately, is high, just because you're not going to be able to sustain that level. So that opens the doors for guys like us that, you know, I think by your standards, you'd say that today was a less than stellar day.
Yep.
And I'd say that yesterday for me was, I mean, for the NHC, it was par for the course, but it wasn't a particularly strong day, getting only $60.
Yep.
So, you know, yeah, I had a good day today, and it gives us a little opportunity, as you're saying.
Yeah. Well, Nick, I'll quote you and say, nothing but a chip and a chair, buddy.
Chip and a chair, that's it.
Right?
We're all
dangerous.
We're all getting a shot in the batter's box. That's it.
That's right.
That's all you can ask for.
So swing for the fences.
Yeah,
you,
that's what I'm going to do. No doubt about it.
A tremendous performance.
Yes.
Delighted for you to be in this position.
This
now
is like
it's
a rite
automatic
of winter.
Exactly.
For you, right?
It's just amazing.
Well, I'm going to go get to work.
Get to work. Enjoy tonight.
Appreciate
congratulations.
It. Thank you.
Nick Tamaro, everybody, and AJ Benton as well, joining us. Let me get a picture of you guys together. Oh, my God. I'm stiff as can be here. It's literally sat here for 5 straight hours. There we go. Beautiful. Outstanding. Let me get that. I want to get the Bay Chocks to sidle in here. Chocky.
They were double qualified and got both of their entries in the top 78. Jordan James, Ed Dykey, Stephen Wells, James Pauling, John Nichols.
AJ, thank you, buddy.
Congratulations.
Let's get the jockeys over.
Jordan James has a little extra.
We'll bring in the Baychik boys. Champ, come on. This was, yeah, but, all right, there we go. Come on.
Jordan Jean has a little extra.
You had the big performance. There we go. All right.
The top 78 is official.
They're calling it official, and boy, oh boy, Ben Bacik, you were, yeah, this, you got hot, yeah, pick up the mic, you got hot yesterday, late afternoon, the brothers Bacik joining us.
Good run yesterday, struggled today, but then we picked up a little steam late in the day like we did yesterday. Came down to the last race, and I hate to even talk about red boarding, but we did come down between the 2 and the 10. Oof. We initially liked the 3 because of the first-time starter statistics with the trainer who does so well. So cold on the board, I just wasn't comfortable playing a 25-to-1 shot first-time starter. So we moved on. I thought the speed of the 10 second time out was going to be the key, and he didn't break. So I didn't have to sweat the race very long because I knew as soon as they got past the first 200 yards, it was going to be difficult. The 2 had just had a fantastic work in the inside post, and it looks like speed had been running really well the last couple races at Golden Gate. You know, what you going to do?
But up until the last click of the board, the 2 was non-playable. Like, he was 5-to-1, which wouldn't have gotten him there. So it's just a really unfortunate situation where at the end of, you know, the last couple clicks, you look up at the board and the horse is 8-to-1. And you're like, oh, well,
how did that
maybe
happen?
I should have bet the, you know, and it's just like you can't make the, you know, the move that quick. And then which one of us wants to get off our, you know, our, I mean, right? I mean, it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, you have a horse that's 4-to-1. That's not going to get you in the top 78 from where I was, even though we were close.
You were at 146.60, and you were basically trying to get to 170?
I needed probably $15 to I think, get there.
Yeah.
I actually thought the 2...
A little bit more, actually.
A little bit more.
But you would have... But the 2 would have gotten it there.
And I thought the 2 was going to be kind of a public pick.
It's the strangest thing. John Costin came by, and he was going to play the 2, and he saw that the 2 was the same in the will pace.
I was about to point out that the 2...
With the 1.
The doubles.
With the 1.
So,
and the,
yeah. So the implied the odds... Yep. On the 2 and the doubles was about, you know, 3-to-1.
Exactly. Then he was going to come down, but he went up.
He went up.
It's crazy.
Right. So
you guys can thank Jonathan Wong, because Jonathan Wong had the one horse that took all that money. Well, thank Jonathan.
Look, there's a very small piece of salvation for this, thanks to Brian Shenvert, who's probably one of the
best out there.
Best gamblers ever. We had 500 to win on the 2.
Unbelievable.
So we walk away with about 4,500, you know, so we'll have a great meal tonight, even though my brother says he's buying the wine.
You're not going back to Amalfi, are you?
I would.
I hope not.
That was an option.
No, we're going back to the restaurant where you ditched us last year, where we invited you after Michael got inducted into the Hall of Fame. We're going back to SW for a steak tonight.
Okay.
And the invitation is still open.
I got
always.
You guys are killing me. Jerry McClellan and Ray Arsenault. They
taking you to SW?
No.
Okay. Ellis Island for the all-you-can-eat steak, prime rib, $19.99.
Let me know how the Nathan top dog
sauce. You guys are unbelievable.
We don't joke with people unless they're very close friends. And
I feel badly. This is killing me. And I missed you when I was in
well,
New
can
Orleans.
Can we talk about Francis Bustani?
You must know him well.
We do.
We know him well.
We had him yesterday.
Louisiana
so
guy.
Fun.
Right.
Lafayette.
Yes. And, you know, he's gone through some...
the cancer. The throat cancer.
So I just love to see him up there. I don't think he was out able to play at all last year.
Nope. That's what he said.
Right.
He had lost 50 pounds.
Yeah.
I have a picture. I think it's from the last time that I had qualified in the NHC. And it might have been the only time I was on the leaderboard after, like, the third race. And the leader of that that day, that fall, was Francis Bustani.
Unbelievable.
So I've got, I still got the picture with Francis in first. I think I was in fourth or something. So I love it. He's great. He's something else.
He was a delight. We had so much fun yesterday yep. with him. And, you know, the way he sustained it, I mean, he got a little cool on the late day today, but the way he opened up that 70-point lead was stunning.
I mean, no backing off from him. He just kept going and going and going. One of our friends from Louisiana at the table said, you know, this guy is just nonstop relentless.
Every time you turn around,
he's got the winner of the race, and that's unusual for a guy who's in, what is it, like the they call it the dog track.
He looked like he was flight line in this room, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Box to wire,
you know, like the dog track. So
Jose went box to wire.
Yes.
What was his day two score?
Oof.
Is this a record, 291?
It's got to be close. I think somebody had three. Somebody's had 300.
Wow.
But it's right up there. Well, I'll tell you what, in relation to the prices.
I was about to say, I'm really surprised that the top 10 are all over almost at 230. Because there were, I don't know that there were any cap. There may be one or two cappers, three?
Apparently three.
Okay.
Nick Tamaro. Yesterday there were none.
Right.
And
I am aware.
And today, Nick thinks there was at the most four.
Right. So wow. It's probably the lowest number of cappers. And these guys, I mean, and Stephen Wells, I don't know.
That's the craziest story yet.
All right.
We don't know. All we know is that he is going against the prescribed employment of two tickets by playing them identically.
Seems to have worked.
It seems to have worked.
I don't know if I could do that. In the NHC, I've done it in feeders for some of the NHC, BC stuff. But I wouldn't do it in the finals.
Well, it gives him a lot of options. I mean,
yeah,
now,
tomorrow will be his litmus test.
What's he going to do?
He's got to go.
Is he going to split, or is he going to keep playing? And
gonna,
that at the final table, he's got
at
two.
At some point, you got to go
would
like
be
this.
The first right? person, right?
No,
you cannot have two.
No, not anymore. The Kinchin has created rules every year. There's been some, right?
I thought the Kinchin rule was that you couldn't have two, and then they changed it that you can now.
They changed it back.
That's what I thought. I thought the Kinchin rules was that you could not have two. Before Kinchin.
Oh, maybe.
And then when he presented the issue, they said, okay, well, that's stupid. You can have two. Why would you not? I think you can have two. Need a clarification.
We do. We need.
I'm going to have to get the t-shirts and bring them to everybody. It's free Jonathan Kinchin.
And with that, Steve walks away.
and Jonathan Kinchin is not here to answer
the
question.
No, he is not. And he won't be here next year because he's still on suspension.
He's still on that suspension?
He walked into the green room at Keeneland for the Breeders' Cup, and it was like he's a movie star. Glad handing everybody. He's a great guy. He just got married, by the way.
And he's on television. I mean, Fox Sports, that's the most exposure that we have.
Doesn't he have like a clothing line now with all those shirts, right?
He does. Ugly clothes.
Rich, I think you're the first handicapper that I've ever read and still try to follow. For years and years, I was, and I know you got into the contest lately. I love reading what you do and what you say.
Thank you so much.
You know.
Yeah.
Now you're in competition with my brother, who's the expert for the Times-Picayune, the Morning Advocate in Louisiana, because he picks the fairgrounds horses on a daily basis.
Yeah, because I was
just glancing at the leaderboard. So I think John Nichols has two in the top. So he has two tickets. I think he might be the only other person. It has too.
So this will be worth getting the answer to find out if he can get two entries
right
into the final table. Or not.
And
support.
He took Nichols apparently took the traditional course where he was playing different selections on each ticket because
so that would mean that number 79 would get in instead of number 78 if he's got two or no, because if you're only going to allow one entry into the top 10. Then are you going to allow him to have two in the top 78?
Yes, you have.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure you can have two in the top.
Yeah, I would almost think you could have two in the top 10%, you know, 78 in
and,
this case.
And I think two in the top 10 as well. I think you can have two.
But that I'm not sure.
The anticipation is killing us, and we're about to get an answer on this.
Here comes
it's
Steve.
It's going to the judges, and here is the final verdict from the judge.
The Shell answer man.
He can use both both tickets could
he can have two in the final table.
Yep.
Wow.
After Kinchin was unable to use both, they changed it so that you could.
Right.
A fascinating side note to the nightcap. Only two people that were outside the cut line moved into the field after that Golden Gate finale.
Don't tell me that, because I'm probably going to have to leave the interview and excuse myself and go to the bathroom. I really thought, and I guess that's my misjudgment, I thought the two was going to be the public pick for people trying to get into the top 78.
Wow. I want to know who else they picked.
One person had the winner that moved up to $30, $25, and one person used the place price to get into the cut. That's
well,
it.
We need to tell your audience that I'm about to kidnap you. We will be in Pat O'Brien's drinking hurricanes tomorrow to try to drown our sorrows. So only if you let me take you to a couple places for dinner, though.
Well, it's a deal. We will be back. I felt terrible. It's so tough. I
know it is. Yeah. It's hard.
It's overwhelming, but.
Matt Bernier had been calling for 2 weeks, telling me he was going to be there. I couldn't meet him. You know, with two kids in high school, both playing sports, it's just hard to get away. But I will say this, I did not know you were there. And if I had known you were there, I would have gotten away to come see my friend Steve Bick.
Ben, I appreciate it. You know, the HBPA, the convention was going to be, you know, you're sort of, but when I was in town for Risen Star, that was the week. But even then, that's the first time, they say every 7 years, Risen Star is Mardi Gras week.
Yeah.
It was mayhem.
Yeah.
Mayhem.
And I don't even go down there for Mardi Gras. You know, when I was younger, my wife and I used to do it. No more. I couldn't even stay at our place in the quarter because I have a friend of mine that rides the parade in Bacchus, and I let him stay there for 4 days a year, and that's when he stays, because we're not going there for Mardi Gras.
No.
So, no. But hope come back.
Without fail.
I got a couple of gyms that we need to go have a dinner at that you would love.
Some secrets? Any places that we don't know about?
You know, not really. I mean, I would really urge you to go to Mona Lisa for a little hole-in-the-wall Italian place.
I just heard about Mona Lisa the other day.
It's my favorite place in the quarter.
Just heard about it. I walked by the other day.
It's amazing. There's no reservations, so you either want to eat early or eat late. GW Finn's has become one of the better...
I walked past there, too.
One of the better restaurants in the quarter. It is phenomenal. You could go on and on talking about restaurants in New Orleans.
Of course.
Yeah, you did yourself a great service with Brightson.
Well, Neil Pessin did the service.
But Neil would know.
You're riding he's got his name on the wall. They got a stall.
That's respect.
Liuz's by the track.
The Fabulous.
Is just an amazing place. Some of the stuff there is on. But if we get into two things that are highly argumentative, and I'll start a war by saying this, it's all personal. Raw oysters at Felix.
At the oyster
bar. If you're an oyster bar, you got to sit at the bar, tip the shucker $5 or $10, and you will not be able to keep up with how fast he shucks the raw oysters. It's phenomenal.
That's awesome.
The other place is the po' boy argument. I'm partial to Johnny's Po' Boy because it's around the corner from our place there. Get it to go sit on the balcony, eat one of the better Po' Boys in New Orleans overlooking Jackson Square.
That's kind of hard to beat.
It is hard to beat.
I mean, that's one of the great pleasures in the United States.
What about your king cake preference?
You know, I don't have one. I am not a king cake expert at all.
Or
a
snob about it.
I'm not. You mentioned the Korean...
Is it Korean or Vietnamese?
Vietnamese. Vietnamese king cake bakery that is...
Yo Tan, something like that.
They sell out every morning by 9 or 10.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they ship them anywhere, because I try to send you and Tina a king cake every year. It's hard to find a great one. I will say this. The next time you're in New Orleans, go to R&O Po' Boys, R&O Seafood in Bucktown, which is a little outside of the French Quarter.
Okay.
The Italian roast beef po' boy will change your religion.
R&O.
It is absolutely one of the finest po' boys you'll ever get.
In Bucktown.
Yes. There's another place in Bucktown if you want fried seafood. They've opened up a place in the French Quarter. It's not quite as good. It's called Dini's Seafood.
I've heard this story.
They have the best fried seafood in South Louisiana. What I would tell you to do is get half of the half seafood platter fried. It will feed 10. It's the best bargain in the state of Louisiana, and you will just laugh when they bring it to your table with the amount of food they have. But it's the most excellent fried seafood in New Orleans.
But the original location, though.
In Bucktown, yes.
Also Bucktown.
Yes. Right around the corner from R&O Seafood.
R&O.
Here's a little secret. There's a piano bar at a place called Tableau, which is a Brennan restaurant, and they are the most amazing restaurant family ever. It's across the street from the Pontalba, right on the corner of Jackson Square. If you have a chance, go get dessert there upstairs in the piano bar. It's not a typical piano bar where they're banging out the tunes like they do for all the people drinking Hurricanes at Pat O'Brien's. This is a great piano bar. They have one of the most amazing dessert menus and a fantastic cordial and bourbon menu upstairs.
The name again?
Tableau.
Oh, I've walked by there too.
Upstairs.
On Chartres.
Yes, Charters. We got to help with the southern pronunciation.
It's murder.
It's spelled like it's Chartres, but it's called Charter Street.
I had this argument, a discussion, not an argument. I had this the other day with Frank, and so many crazy crazy pronunciations.
Yes. Absolutely.
Calliope is ridiculous. That one makes me nuts. And then there's some strange spellings and words. Chiapas?
Chapatulas. Yeah.
Chapatulas.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
It's you can start with the big nets, which are beignets, you know.
that one I got, because my time in Montreal helps with that.
And that's one of the things you have to do when you stay down there. You can walk across the street from the Pontalba and go get some beignets and the cafe au lait, bring it back to the place and sit on the balcony, enjoy the music coming out of Jackson Square at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's one of life's just simple pleasures
for sure
that you just can't find anywhere else in the country. It's
no.
just a special place.
It is.
Now we're having some serious problems with our crime down there. The quarter's not terrible, but it's not great. If you know where you're going, if you stay around the quarter, you're okay. Don't venture off the quarter. It's a shame. We've lost so many members of the police force. We're not competitive with pay. I don't know what the solution is. Michael is the political guru. He could tell you more about it than me. And the people that get the most attention, the people that get the oil on the squeaky wheel, or obviously the wealthy. They think that the people in the Pontiable apartment complex are, some of them are not, speaking right now, but we're crime free in the Jackson Square area, because it's a tourist area. You run tourists off, you're done.
I got to tell you, and maybe it's because I'm from New York and I've got some awareness, but I walk around. I mean, I was there twice in 3 weeks, and I walk to the Marigny. I go over to the Houdat Cafe.
New hot place. That area is so fine. It's
wonderful.
I walk
over there. I've stayed on Common Street, and, yep, and walked in several directions. Then I was on Royal at the Monteleone, and I go to Mid City.
Mid City is okay. You have to stay within two or three blocks of the French Quarter. Don't go off away from the river. The Marigny is wonderful because it's become one of the more popular places in New Orleans. I'm not familiar with it because we stay very close to. Well, we're just creatures of habit when I go down there with my wife. But the Marigny has some of the best restaurants in the city right now.
Oh, the Houdat Cafe. I go for the Johnny cake, the corn cakes with the sauce and the bacon.
Can't beat it.
Unbelievable.
Can't beat it. Yeah, we're quarter rats because we park the car and that's it.
For $60 a night.
Yeah. well. I can help you with that.
Well, you got the guy. I met a guy. I know a guy.
We got a guy at the garage, and if I let him know you're coming,
all right.
Just
I'm gonna
give
take
him
30, you
40 bucks.
I'll take
He'll stick
up.
It in his pocket. You won't get a ticket.
Sweet.
And that's the only charge right. You'll get.
I'm going to take you up on that, and you know, right around the corner. I want to give Hemline a push. You ever bring the wife to Hemline?
I have not. No, no. Oh. She goes to Wise Buys, which is a crazy clothing store that she loves. So we only allow her there about twice a year. So we can pay rent. Because if she goes in there, then the rent's gone. she should be the Francis Bustani of spending money on clothes. Put it that way.
I met a lovely couple that have got a phenomenal jewelry store. I got Tina a absolutely spectacular bracelet that I absolutely have to push.
Let me tell you one of the things that you must do.
Yes.
And I'm going to give you some background on this because I was anti this place. So when my wife and I first met, we would go to the LSU football games on a Saturday. And we were very fortunate. My dad had been on the board of supervisors for years and years. We inherited tickets, and more importantly, we inherited a couple of parking passes. And one parking pass was the most wonderful pass ever. It was at the south end of the stadium, underneath the oak trees, 15 yards from walking into the stadium. And we would have a tailgate there every weekend. And
wow.
It was kind of famous. The people that would show up was ridiculous, and our food was wonderful. And so when the game would get just about ready to start, everybody would go into the stadium. And we wouldn't go. My wife and I would pack up, and we would run by. I was living at her place at the time, a little garden home. We'd drop everything off, and we would take off for New Orleans. And we would unload our stuff at the apartment, and we would get there for halftime. And at halftime, we'd go sit at the bar at Muriel's, which is a little place across the quarter. Their food has become excellent, incredible. But their bar was one of the hidden jewels in New Orleans, one of the most fabulous bars in the back that you'd ever imagine. And they had a cheese tray, in New Orleans, it's not a big place for really good, fancy, aged cheeses. It's hard to find. But they had one, and they did homemade chutney. And so we'd go sit at the bar and have a cheese tray and watch the second half of the LSU game, go to sleep. And so every Sunday morning, we would go to Port of Call, a hamburger place,
yeah,
which is one of the coolest places in the city of New Orleans. Best hamburger ever. Don't think you're going to get French fries because they don't have a fryer.
Right.
They serve
hash bread.
No, baked potatoes.
A baked potato. Love it. I love it.
That's what you get. Now they also have one of the best homemade Bloody Mary mixes in the city, which is excellent. But they have a very famous drink called a monsoon. Drink at your own risk.
Unbelievable.
It's not a hurricane, it's a monsoon.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Hurricanes are for tourists.
They are.
You want a local drink? Go get the monsoon at Port of Call. And I'm getting to the point of the story. It's very long-winded. When you leave Port of Call after you have a hamburger and a couple of monsoons, you have to go to Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop, which is one of the coolest places in the country. It is the oldest freestanding bar in the United States. They do not have electricity that works at night. It's candles. They have a wonderful jukebox, but you must go to Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop right around the corner from Port of Call. Very cool.
Unbelievable.
And so my wife finally got tired of going to Port of Call. I think because it was my behavior after a couple of monsoons. Yeah, you walk into Port of Call, shorts, sandals, hat on backwards. It is a dive bar by definition, but the hamburgers are the best in the city. So she had grown up, her family had taken her to Galatoire's for brunch on Sundays. I just didn't feel like I was a Galatoire's guy. Galatoire's is kind of uptown.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's my wife, so Lisa wanted to go there. Let's go. All right, we're in. So the first time we went, there's no reservations if you want to be downstairs, which is where you want to be, because that's where all the old-time locals go. They have their own tables. They've had the same waiters for 25 years.
Yeah.
All right. So we get there at 11:30. You have to stand in line, which is not fun in the summer, but you make do. They open the door at 11:30, 11:45. Put your name on the list. If you want to sit downstairs, which is where you want to be, you have to have a jacket. Then you're ushered upstairs. You have a couple drinks. 12 o'clock on the dot is when they allow you to be seated. And they bring you downstairs. They seat you downstairs. Galatoire's brunch on Sunday is one of the finest New Orleans institutions you will ever, ever experience. Their food is incredible. The sautéed speckled trout is the specialty. You have to do it. It is a true New Orleans experience. And then I was laughing because it was actually less expensive than going to Port of Call and drinking four monsoons and having a $15 hamburger. And I'm saying this because you've had a guest on your show, Jim Goodman, who we took to Galatoire's 3 weeks ago. And instead of going to Commander's Palace, which is another experience you have to do, they could not get over Galatoire's. So, Steve, next time you're in New Orleans, we will come down. We will meet you. We're going to Galatoire's for
brunch. It's a deal.
That's a deal.
Awesome. All of this.
We get Rich to come down. We hook him up, too. So,
Ben, unbelievable.
You.
Ben Bacik, everybody. Yep. The Bacik brothers, a terrific performance.
Gave him a run.
You
just,
did.
Just missed. So, disappointing.
Be back next year.
Hope so.
Have fun tonight.
Thank you.
We will see you in the morning.
We'll miss you.
Ben Bacik,
thank
everybody.
Thank you so much.
I so appreciate this. I'll summarize everything that Ben just laid out. I'll put it on Twitter for everybody. We get the best. Nobody has better pushes when it comes to New Orleans. Nobody gets better info than we do with our list of incredible guests. It's been a list of incredible guests all day. Travis Stone and Chris Larmy, Emily Gullickson stopped by. Jim Goodman is mentioned. AJ stopped by a couple of times. Ron Flatter, George Novick, who put in a big run off of his Thursday win in the last chance, first chance. John
John Costin, the Bacik brothers, Nick Tamaro, and of course Brian Troop and Rich Ang, providing the color commentary and insights. I don't even know how long we start. What time did we start? 11:30 we started.
Yeah, just a couple minutes after 11:30. Who's counting?
For 6 hours. six-hour ordeal. A lot of fun today, of course. Saturday, this is the big one. Tomorrow, back again, 11:30. We will crown a champion. We've had some remarkable performances, and we will get some of those stories told. Typically, we come at the tail end of the semifinal. We'll have about 45 minutes or so of the final, and so we'll get that in, and then there's a good another half hour, 40 minutes before the final table starts, and we get a parade of visitors during that portion and set up the final table. It might be that there's nine final table participants, with Stephen Wells having these two tickets at $239.70. Just remarkable. Rich, some final thoughts on the day.
Well, I just think the scores are tremendous. I mean, I think there's a possibility of getting a winning score over $400, which would be an incredible number. I don't know exactly what the highest score ever has been, but it just seems like $400 plus for the tournament would be just an excellent, excellent deal. So I can't wait for tomorrow, Steve. This should be exciting.
Always great, and there'll be a bunch of basketball going on as well, of course. You've got finals, then there's the selection show at 3 o'clock Pacific.
Yep.
As well. So that'll be going on as we conduct the final table. It should be a fun, fun day. Everybody, thanks so much for staying with us. Casey with another great job on the dials. There it is, folks. Saturday, the moving day. The stage is set for 78 players looking to walk out of here with $800,000, one player in particular. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow, 11:30. 11:30 our time, Richard?
11:30 Pacific time.
Pacific, thank you. 2:30, that's right, 2:30 Eastern time. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody.
Oh, there goes a Buick 49. Black sheep of the angels riding, riding down the line. We think there is a soul.